Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fast on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama. Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fear.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Hey, good evening, shipmates, and welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where it seems like it's been 5 million years. But I got some good news today, which is good. I finally get a chance to speak to my mother tomorrow, or tonight. I wanted to speak to her, you know, all day yesterday, but they were doing all kinds of stuff. And she was really in no mood, and then she was drugged up and took a bunch of things and shoved it up and moved it around and did whatever the hell they got to do, and evidently it's been successful. And I've been trying to get information, but I can't get anything from my little brother because he's taking care of Grandma. And the other brother, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but anywho, I'm going to be able to speak to her tonight, and everything so far seems good. She's going to be, you know, kind of out for the count for a little while, but so far, you know, the prognosis seems to be pretty good, which makes me feel good. I was in frame of mind last night, not knowing anything, doing this, doing that. Family comes first, just the way it is, man, just the way it is. And we are a family. We're Americans. We have to look at it as such. We want to be equal? All right. We're American. We're not African-American. Chinese American, Liechtensteinian American, this American. No, you're an American or you're not an American. Just the way it is. You don't like it? Well, there's not really a whole hell of a lot I can do about it. But you can call yourself whatever you want to. I don't give a damn. But you're either an American or you're not. You want to be equal? Okay. Stop with all the hyphenating. Because we are a family, we must be dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Cost? There's no cost. Cost? Honey, you seen the cost? Ah, she ain't seen it. Neither of you, because it doesn't exist. There is no cost. Freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 4-6-7-1-6-7-9-7-8. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one liberal on planet Earth, that's all it takes. And it becomes immediately a very, 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 very busy news day. Well, again, tonight is no exception. There still is a growing number of people that are just desperate to take away your freedom. There's only one way to combat that, and that is to lift our jib and get our freedom ship underway. God, that feels good. Officially underway and headed out to sea. Boatswain mate, shift colors. It feels good to be back. I swear to God, it seems like it's been forever. I know I've had a couple of short weeks. I've had a lot of weird stuff that's been going on. Nothing I can do about it. When weird stuff happened, man. You just got to take care of business, man. Do what you got to do, and that's it. So I'm doing it. But I do like being here every night, just the way it is. And so does my cat. All right, before we get to the scuttlebutt of the day, again, I'm not leaving these people alone. Michelle and Isaiah Ryder are still asking for your support. They need it. So do thousands of other children. You got to read up on this because, well, you know, the media doesn't cover it. It's boring. Oh, another kid gets stolen. Oh, no. Okay, take it away from the family. Well, it's got to be the mother. She's got to be, something's got to be wrong. Otherwise, the government wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, they do. And they know that's what you're going to think. Oh, well, it's just the government. No. What the hell? Just the government they're doing. They're the government. That's why we vote them in there. They're psychiatrists. They're doctors. They're lawyers and judges. They know what they're doing. They're cops. They're social workers. They're foster parents. They know what they're doing. Really? Really? Do they? Huh. Let's see. If they really know what they're doing, why do they continue to do it? Oh, that's right. Money. Foster parents don't give a damn. The more kids they can put in their little homes, the more money they get. Does that money go to the kids? Well, they got to give them a little bit. They get a little bit. But they make a lot of money. That's all what it's about. Yes, are there good foster parents out there that are really doing a good job? Of course, come on. Of course there are. We're not talking about the good ones. The good ones don't need to be talked about. I mean, yeah, we do have to, you know, take a look at them. You know, look at them as a model. Maybe you might want to, you know, copy a couple of things. But why talk about the good? Well, we got to talk about the bad because the bad needs to be fixed, not the good. The good doesn't need to be fixed. The bad does. So we got to talk about the bad so we know what is bad. So we know what to look out for. And when we see it, we slap it. We knock it down. That's what we got to do. Look, they can't keep doing this, man. And you're next. Oh, really? Oh, I won't have anything to do with that. Oh, yeah, that's what they all say. That's what everybody says. Can't happen to me until it does. Well, go on, Team Isaiah. Bring Isaiah home .org. Combat.org. Bring Isaiah home .org. Buy a shirt, buy a hat, buy just a little something, something. That's all they're asking for. Just if everybody bought it, just a little something, something. I mean, these lawyers, I mean, come on. All these court costs and all this crap and that crap, and plus driving back and forth from Chicago to Kansas City. I don't know. But, I mean, that's got to be draining. That's got to be, you know. So they need your help. And the government doesn't know what they're doing. Well, actually, I take that back. They do know what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're making money off of people because they can and they get away with it. They're the government. Oh, we're a doctor. We're a psychiatrist. We're this. We're that. We're a cop. Oh, just because you're a cop means you know everything. Oh, all right. See this badge? Yeah, I can get one of those too. What does that mean? It's not your badge that people respect or disrespect. It's you that they respect or disrespect. I mean, you don't give them any reason. I mean, you approach them and just start, you know. I don't know. There, you can go on. It's basically, it boils down to not, again, not with the groups, but with the individual. Look, there's good cops. Of course there are. Do we need cops? Yes, of course. I mean, hello. You know, but I mean, what kind of police do we want? What kind of police do we need? Well, we also got the police that nobody wants to talk about, and that's the police of yourself. Police of your, you know, your immediate family. Your immediate little group. Well, we got a lot of policing that we've got to do as a family, as a whole, as an American, as one group. As one country, we've got a lot to do. But are we? Well, whatever. My God, I'll just keep digressing all friggin' night. We'll never get anywhere. But anyway, the Scottabot of the day tonight, we got a whole bunch to talk about. God only knows where we're going to end up. Does it matter? No. Because we're going to get into some good stuff. We're going to talk about things. That's what we got to do. Address the situation. Acknowledge the problem. Then fix it. The inside story, I don't know if anybody, I did talk about it. When was it? Friday. And they aired it on a Saturday. Why? I don't know. That's weird. Or they aired it on a Friday night. I think they did it on a Friday night. That's right. Friday night was the, but whatever. I didn't care. I watched it. I liked it. It was good. They told you what, I mean, they told you what you pretty much, you know, kind of expected. You kind of knew what went on. They just absolutely confirmed it. And they were told to stand down. And I'm sorry, but there's no way that their supervisor would say stand down if he didn't get the order from somebody up above. I don't buy that. I know that they call him Bob, and they probably have a lot of respect for the guy, and they know what he was ordered to do. So, yeah, there's this, there's that, there's all kinds of stuff, but they were told to stand down, and that order did not come from a supervisor, Bob. Did that come from Valerie Jarrett, or did it come from Hillary Clinton? We know it didn't come from Barack Obama, because Barack Obama wasn't anywhere near anything but upstairs eating. He's got a private chef, you know. A private chef. Whatever. I guess, you know, if I was a president, I guess I'd have a private chef. Well, why not? Whatever. But I'd like to do a lot of cooking myself. President, you probably didn't have a lot of time. Well, this one golfs a lot, so instead of golfing, maybe I'll cook. I'll stay in the White House, at least. That way I can get updates. Updates. What does that even mean? I'm getting updates. Nobody. No. You're president. No, you don't get updates. You create the updates. You make the updates. What are you talking about? You're getting updates. What does that mean? You're the president. You should be knowing what's going on, creating what's going on, doing something. Where are the teams? Where's the planes? Where's the troopers? Where's the help? My God, where's your brains? Thought you were supposed to be so smart, wise, and all this. You're going to, you know, lower the sea levels, save the polar bears. You knew damn good and well they were given the stand down order. And they said it. They said stand down. That's what their exact words. They were told. They knew. You know it. Three times. Three. Why? If, you know what I mean? I mean, that just stuff like that just burns me up just thinking about that stuff. Just think if that was you. That was like some, you know, one of your really good friends, or your brother, or your sister, or your cousin, or somebody you knew. Or if it was just, well, you know, an American. Or if it was just people. And that was your job, was to protect that particular consulate. Well, no, you were, actually, your job was to protect your consulate, which is on the other side. The CIA building. The annex, whatever. But the embassy is just about a mile away. And naturally, both would send help if either one was attacked. Now, I do understand why you would want to keep, you know, at least somebody there at your annex in case they were going to attack both. I can understand that. And maybe I could understand, and he said the same thing too, and I could understand maybe stand down for, you know, maybe 5 minutes or whatever. But when it became a half hour, they were like, wait a minute. You know, we gotta help. Somebody should have gone, you know, the very beginning, which is what they wanted to do. And they all believe within their hearts of hearts that they could have saved their lives, but didn't happen. Was it mission complete? What was Ambassador Stevens supposed to be killed for whatever reason? Was he the main target? Is that why they went in there and then they just kind of had to make it look good? So figured, hey, since we're all here, anybody see that video on YouTube? Yeah, I seen it. Well, damn it. Let's go get the annex building now. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows. The fact is they were attacked and nobody went to help. Because this administration, what they were thinking was not about their safety, but the administration's safety. How does it make them look? How does it make the president look? Well, it makes the president look like an ass, a coward, a deserter, a criminal. I mean, those are just words that come to my mind. Not that I have a strong opinion on that or anything, but, I mean, hello. Again, logic, I know. All that logic. Get the hell out of here. Logic. Well, they did tell a lot of very compelling details, too. You know, and it did break them up. I mean, they were upset. Those were the, you know, they were the buddies, you know. They all knew each other. They all been around. They all know each other, all them boys. You know, it's kind of a fraternity. All them different contractors and security forces, the D-Boys. I like that name, D-Boys, the Delta Force Boys. You know, whatever. They all know each other. It is kind of like a fraternity of what they do. But they had, you know, they told how, you know, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods, how they died with the mortars. And then, you know, I mean, the D-Boys, how they had to throw them off the roof. They had no choice, man. I mean, they had to get them off the roof. They had to, you know, there was, you know, a lot of stuff going on. They didn't know, you know, what was going on. Were they going to, you know, whatever. They had to take them. They had, you know, you don't leave men behind. That's their motto. That's what they do. That's the boots on the ground. But not the boots in a frickin' office. What do they do? Well, they're not boots. They're, you know, whatever. Italian leather shoes. Oh, okay, you got nice shoes. Oh, gee, they're shined up and looking pretty. But what the hell are you doing? I don't care what the hell you look like. Do something. Nothing was done. Nothing. And then, according to whatever, I mean, the latest report, we don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. Well, why is that? Oh, that's right. We have the most transparent administration in American political history. That's why we don't have any information. What the hell was I thinking? God almighty. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do in those situations? You got to do things. But what they told of the attack, I mean, this was like an all-friggin'-nighter. And for Leon Panetta, which I lost absolutely, I got no respect for that guy at all. None. Absolutely nothing. He should have known better. He should have said, you want me to go out there and say that? Now, just exactly what part of my ass did you want to kiss first? Huh? You want the left side? The right side? All right, square down the middle. Because I'm not going out there and I'm not saying that. You want that said, you're going to have to say it yourself, because I ain't going to do it. I wouldn't do it. But did he say that? No. He went out there. He gladly went out there and did what he was told. A good soldier. No, that's not a good soldier. That's not a good soldier. You do not have to follow, I mean, absolutely ridiculous orders. And if you got to take a little heat for it, take a little heat for it. At the end, you're the hero. You got to stand by some convictions and something. You know, I understand you need a little wiggle room here and there. Hey, I get it. Fine. Whatever. But this isn't wiggle room. You do not go out there and say, well, we couldn't get there on time. Well, first of all, that is, why would anybody would even say that anyway? Because they calculated they had a couple of planes, you know, if the attack lasted 13 hours, they had a plane that would get there in 14. I mean, what? That doesn't matter. You get there. And if the battle's over, okay, fine. You clean up the mess. You see if there's any straggler soldiers laying around. You try to find out where they are now. You go get them. You do something. Somebody's injured. Well, you try to save them. Come on. You don't need money. Yeah, come on. Yeah, no. This is what you do. This is automatic. We couldn't get there on time. What do you mean by couldn't get there on time? I mean, what does that even mean? Couldn't get there on time. I don't even know why you said that. And then to say, well, we don't send troops into harm's way without knowing all the information on the ground. I mean, that just right there is just so categorically wrong. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that one. I mean, that's ridiculous. Anybody, why, I don't understand. If we had a real president, first of all, he was going to, you know what? Anybody's going to say something that ridiculous cannot be working in my administration. But he was told by the administration. Which tells you that Leon Panetta, I mean, if you're just going to be a yes man, I mean, what does that say about him? I mean, you're more concerned with your own image than... More concerned with the president's image? Who are you protecting and why are you protecting? How about protecting the American people, which is your friggin' job? I mean, there is no excuse. A video that had to come from the dude. You know damn good and well that came from the dude. And he was waiting for that boy. He was just slobbering all over himself. Just he couldn't wait till Valerie showed up. Till his little mommy showed up. He goes over there. Starts suckling on her nipples. I mean, this is just pathetic. What the hell went on there that night? Who was actually in charge? Was it Valerie Goebbels? I think it was. But when did she show up? According to what the latest we get, what, over 2 hours? I mean, she was up there eating with Obama. So, you know, they're both Muslim, so, you know, they didn't have bacon. He likes cheeseburgers, but he doesn't have that bacon. I mean, what'd they have? Goat burgers? Ugh. I mean, come on. And then he gets on the phone with, I guess, Netanyahu. I mean, he can't stand Netanyahu, so why is he on the phone with him for 2 friggin' hours? Because he doesn't want to go downstairs to go to work. If he makes a decision, of course he knows he's going to make the wrong decision. He's going to really screw something up. But see, what he really wants is he wanted to be the president that started no wars, nobody attacked, and everything was peaceful just because he won an election. Well, he didn't win it. He stole it. Well, he stole it from the brains of people. He stole their brains. So, whatever. Now I'm going on and on and on. I'll never get to where the hell I'm supposed to get to tonight. I don't know. I know. Whatever. But it was all about him. That's all it ever is. He wanted to be the only president. See, I didn't start any war. I didn't do anything. Wins an election. Gets a Nobel Peace Prize. For what? If you're going to give a peace prize, a peace prize, I mean, you would think that somebody that did something that, I don't know, brought peace? I mean, that's just my opinion. But, I mean, you know. I mean, that's... What peace did he bring? Everywhere he goes, he brings nothing but hate and discontent in his wake. Just look at Chicago. He organized that community, by the way. Look at it now. I mean, what, are you kidding me? A community organizer, which is what? What does that mean? How do you organize a community? It's already there. It's already organized. That's why people live there. What are you organizing? Protests? I mean, that makes you qualify for president? I mean, why would he even admit that? I mean, what are we doing? I don't recognize America. I'm sorry, but who are we now? I don't like it. I'm sorry. I'm not afraid to admit it. I don't like it. I'm going to go back to being where, people were proud to be American. They liked it. America was a fun place to be. America was the place to be. Well, I mean, we're going to have to fix that part. Us as Americans are going to have to fix it. But will we? Well, got me by the short and curlies. I never thought we'd vote for Clinton twice. Look what happened. Then we voted for Barack Obama twice. Look what happened there. Look what's continuing to happen. Now on Meet the Press Sunday, basically what he was doing was giving a speech, announcing that he was going to give a speech. And what is a speech going to do? What is that going to do? Why all this, I'm going to give a speech. He's going to give a speech that's supposed to outline whatever his little plan is, which he doesn't have a plan yet because he's getting together with Congress today. God only knows what they talked about. And he talked about having like a debate and what's this and what's the conversation. Well, wait a minute. I mean, you want all this stuff done, but you have no plan. What do you want done? What is your goal? What are you doing? Do you understand the problem? Do you understand any problem? Do you understand English? Hello? What are you doing? If he's got to get together with Congress, well, we've got a couple of clips here. We're going to get to them. But, I mean, it's just, wants to get together with Congress. But then he says, well, we're going to be doing, you know, stuff that we've been doing for the last 7 years. The same stuff. Well, then, why do you need to get together with Congress? And why do you need to give us a speech? I mean, I just don't. I don't feel confident in this president or anybody in this administration, including all the cabinet positions and their spokespeople, especially the State Department. I've had about enough of that State Department, that Jen Psaki. That other one. That Harf, what's her name, Melanie or Melissa or Melody, whatever her name is. Good God. I mean, that was sexist. I mean, just shut up. Oh, sexist. Oh, shut up. You know, when things like everybody uses racism and sexism and thisism and thatism, okay, well, you know, I mean, it becomes, every time you use it, well, then you have to go to their style. Oh, they said sexism. So, I mean, no, you can't argue against it. Well, yes, you can, because if it isn't sexism, it's not sexism. If it isn't racism, it's not racism. You don't use those kinds of isms unless they are the ism. Because the real ism gets ignored. It's called crying wolf. Maybe nobody, they don't read that story to children anymore. Why? Well, because they want you to cry wolf. I don't understand that. Always gotta, somebody's gotta pay. Everything's gotta pay. Somebody's gotta be punished. They like punishing people, but yet they hate torture. Can't splash a little, few drops of water on somebody. Can't do that. But you can destroy their livelihoods, their lives, their jobs and their towns, all because, well, you don't like coal. Because supposedly some scientist somewhere came up with a computer model that said coal does this and coal does that and everything and blah, 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 blah. Fine. I don't have a problem with cleaning up the environment. I don't have a problem with that. Nobody does. I don't know anybody who does. I've never met a person that wanted to destroy the environment. I just don't know these people. There's going to be pollution. If it wasn't for pollution, we wouldn't be able to sustain life. But I do understand why we want to keep the pollution down. But we got to solve the problem before we pass a law that says that you can't pollute. You want these businesses to no longer pollute? Okay, well then come up with a solution. A solution is not legislation. That's more problems. And people vote for this. But when they take their electricity away, how could it happen to my electricity? Well, you voted for it. You voted to remove your electricity. And when you do get it, it's going to be very, very expensive. And you deserve it. But the rest of the smart people, they don't deserve it, but they have to suffer because of you. Well, we have to look at it as, well, we're suffering because of us. We should have done something. Maybe we should have knocked on one door, one more door. Maybe that person at the supermarket that was running their fat mouths off about something. Maybe you should have stood up and said something. I don't know. I'm just using things as an example. I'm not telling you to go out and do anything. I'm just using things as an example. You know, you voted, right? Well, none of this stuff. I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. Yeah, I get it, but we as America, we've got to stop tolerating the intolerable, accepting the unacceptable, being patient with that you should have no patience for. But yeah, if we're going to solve the problem, we're going to have to get a little angry. We're going to have to get jiggy with it. Jiggy. What the hell? Whatever. Who was that? That was that Smith guy. Yeah, I know him. I like him. I didn't know he was a rapper. I know he did that one show, which I think I watched once and just went boring. All that crap is boring to me, all them sitcoms. I always liked sitcoms, but I didn't like just the... I was kind of particular. A lot of them were just, oh, God. Whatever. I know, I was a weird kid. And I'm a weird kid still. What do you want from me? I can't help it. I am what I am, what I am, what I am. What do you want? Well, getting back to Meet the Press, Chuck Todd now, they fired old Gregory. I never liked him. Where he's going now, I guess he was a real jerk, man. I mean, he's screaming at people. Well, that's what they need to do with that. What's that other clown? What the hell? He does that stupid morning show. Matt Lauer. Oh, that guy I don't know. I don't know. He looks like a pervert. Who knows? Who cares? I'm not calling him a pervert. I'm not making out any kind of, I don't know. Oh, sure, that's just, and he's a jerk, too. Him and Katie Couric, which I've never, America's Sweethearts? No, I don't think so. I don't know. She's not my sweetheart. No way. Uh-uh. But those two didn't like each other because they were, you know, both of them thought that they, you know, they were the queen bee. I mean, those shows I can't deal with them. I'm terrible with television. I love television, but I just don't like all the riffraff that goes along with it. I mean, just, you know, whatever. But Chuck Todd, first thing out of the box. I mean, you know, I mean, say what you want. I mean, you know, Chuck, well, he'll ask a question or two. But deep down inside, he's a lib. He's always going to go lib. He's always going to be a lib. Just the way it is. You got to accept it, fine, and then move on. The first thing out of the box, give him credit. Ask the president point blank. Are you prepared for the country for war?
Are you preparing the country to go back to war?
I'm preparing the country to make sure that we deal with a threat from ISIL. Keep in mind, this is something that we know how to do. We've been dealing with terrorist threats for quite some time. This administration has systematically dismantled Al-Qaeda and the Fatah.
I mean, they are still on this, that they dismantled Al-Qaeda. How? Where? No, you didn't. Let's just say. And, yeah, I think the numbers are out there that, yeah, their numbers are dwindling. But it wasn't because of you. It was because of ISIS. ISIS is growing bigger and bigger. And they're taking those people. The Taliban's are shrinking, too. ISIS is getting bigger. That's the way to go, man. They're turning it into a caliphate. They are turning it into. And it's only a matter of time before all these little groups are going to be sucked in like a black hole into ISIS. That's their point. Saudi Arabia, you're next. That's why I still say, if we're going to absolutely, positively end this jihad once and for all off of planet Earth, the Muslims are going to have to lead the way. It's going to take the world to solve it, but the Muslims, you're going to have to lead the way. You're going to have to do a lot of the work yourself. First of all, you're going to have to raise your kids to understand that chopping people's heads off with a knife is naughty. And you don't do that. You understand? Doesn't matter that they're a Jew. Doesn't matter that they're a Christian. You don't cut their heads off. It doesn't matter if they're this kind of Muslim or that kind of Muslim, and they're not your kind of Muslim. You don't cut their heads off. And if your wife cheats on you, well, you don't cut her head off. You divorce her. Pretty simple. You don't dig a hole, throw her in there, cover her with dirt, and throw rocks at her head until she's dead. You don't do that. That is naughty. That's what it's going to take. Will we get it? I don't know. Oh, I'm preparing the country to make sure we deal with a threat from ISIL. Why does he keep saying ISIL? ISIL, ISIL, ISIL. Everybody says ISIS, but the administration all says ISIL. You notice that there's a reason for that. I don't know what exactly that reason is. But everybody says ISIS. They say is. Keep in mind, this is something we know how to do. I mean, see, this, the people are living off of what, well, Republican presidents did. And, you know, when America still had, you know, might, strength, and power, and respect, and fear. They're living off the past. Well, you can't live off the past. We have to live off the now. Right now, we don't have a military hardly anymore. It's ridiculous. Our military should be double what we have right now. With all the threats going on in the world, are you kidding me? Are you nuts? You want to take some of these kids off the street? Uh-huh. Put them in the military. Teach them something. Give them a good skill. Put them on ships. Teach them how to drive a truck. Teach them how to drive a tank. Teach them how to do this. You know, there's all kinds of jobs in the military, for God's sakes. But we're shrinking it and shrinking it. And people are living off, oh, well, we know how to do this. Oh, we're Americans. Well, just because we used to be able to do something doesn't mean that we can do it now. And they're just coming out there and then thinking that the rest of the world, oh, well, that's right, America, they got a history. They've done this and they've done that, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not thinking that. They tested you already, Mr. Obama. They know what you're going to do. What you're going to do is absolutely nothing. Keep in mind, this is something we know how to do, dealing with terror threats for quite some time we have. We're not dealing with an ordinary terror threat. Like somebody wants to, I don't know, a little pipe bomb in their lunchbox. We're not talking about that. We're talking a very big organization that, yeah, is there a threat in the homeland? Absolutely. Especially when the government tells you that there isn't a threat. That means, okay, there is. They don't want to alarm the public. Well, the public's really not stupid. We know there's a threat. We see it. We're smart. But they don't see it. Well, they do see it, but they don't want to tell you. And then when he said this, just, I mean, I don't understand. We have this administration, he says, has systematically dismantled Al-Qaeda and the Fatah. You did not dismantle Al-Qaeda. Systematically dismantle it. ISIS has taken over, you dummy. Aren't you paying attention? This is the whole point of this guy now wanting to give another speech, to outline something that he's not going to do. Oh, it's not going to be a repeat of Iraq. I mean, it's not going to be this. It's all about Bush. He doesn't want to make himself look like he, is following Bush's footsteps. Oh, Bush did it. Maybe that's why he froze with Benghazi and didn't want to do anything, because he didn't want to send troops into harm's way, because he didn't want to be a George Bush. I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm guessing here. I have no idea. Nobody knows. I can't figure out why immediately help wasn't sent. And why anybody would say, stand down. Stand down for what? We're being attacked. We've got to defend ourselves. I mean, right? Huh? That's automatic. You don't even have to think. Just do. This is what I'm having great difficulties in understanding. Why there was no help sent. And why is it taking so long for us to find this answer out? Why no help was sent? I know we had a couple of reporters ask a couple of questions. Ba, 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 ba. But where's the answers? Well, I don't know. Honey, you seen the answers anywhere? Yeah, the answers. You seen them? Ah, she ain't seen them. Ah, go back to your Kim Kardashian show. Shut up. All right, let's get into this next clip here. I mean, I got a whole bunch, but I'm not playing them. I can't. I can't listen to this guy all night. He's irritating. All right, go ahead and play this. Get it over.
The next phase is now to start going on some offense. We have to get an Iraqi government in place, and I'm optimistic that next week we should be able to get that done. And I will then meet with congressional leaders on Tuesday, on Wednesday. I'll make a speech and describe what our game plans are going to be going forward. But this is not going to be an announcement about U.S. ground troops. This is not the equivalent of the Iraq War. What this is similar to the kinds of counterterrorism campaigns that we've been engaging in consistently over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Now, see, we've been doing this. Well, it's not going to be a ground truth. Oh, no, it's not going to be a George Bush war. Not going to be a George Bush war. We're going to go in there. They're not even going to know we're there. We're just going to be a pinprick. Boom, gone. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have any boots on the ground. Then what the hell are we going to do? We're just going to be doing the same stuff we've been doing for the 7 years. Well, then, first of all, if you're going to be doing stuff that you've been doing for the past 7 years, why are you telling us about it? Do it. We don't need to hear it in a speech. Do it. Tell us when it's over and we've won. And why would you need to go to Congress? What is he asking for? I mean, does he understand what he's doing? Does he understand the problem? But he went to NATO. Oh, and all the good news is, he kept saying that. I don't know if you've seen that speech with Chuck Todd, but the good news is, we all came to the agreement. Yeah, sure. ISIS is a threat. Really? You had to fly a gazillion miles on Air Force One, spend God knows how many gazillions of taxpayer dollars to get in a meeting with a bunch of people to come to the conclusion that ISIS was a threat and that something needed to be done. You guys needed to go to have a meeting with that? Hello? Again, automatic stuff. No-brainer stuff. You did not need to go to friggin' Europe to that stupid NATO meeting. What does he want to do? I mean, you can't give him sanctions. I mean, what is he going to do? Are they a threat? Yeah, they're taking American citizens. Whether they're Muslim, converts or Muslims that have lived here forever. It doesn't matter. They're taking them. People are signing up and glad to do it. Happy to do it. Can't wait to do it. We do have a threat. They're right here. They're here. And if you think for 1 second that they can't attack us again and won't attack us again, I'm sorry, but I mean, come on. It's just foolish to think that. It's nonsense. We've got to take these people serious. We should have been taking them serious a long time ago when they started. Maybe we could have got them. You get them when they're young, boom. Well, they don't get any bigger. Why? Well, because they're dead. Now, I mean, now he still doesn't have a strategy. He still doesn't have a plan. But he's got a speech. But he doesn't have the speech written yet. I was listening to the press conference today. The White House press secretary. That idiot. Josh Earnest. I mean, what? I mean, just come on. I mean, this guy. I mean, he can't even. He can't lie with any kind of, conviction whatsoever. He can't. He's not a very good liar. And old Carney, you knew he was lying. But he lied with conviction. That other duffer dumbbot, what the hell was his name again? Oh, I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. He was a dart ass. Whatever. I don't believe any of these people. But the next phase is to go on offense? And no, that should have been... That phase should have been a long time ago. But he says, we have to get the Iraqi government in place. What does he mean? Get the Iraqi government in place. Now, wait a minute now. I thought, weren't we told that, that it was in place? I mean, isn't that what he said? I thought I heard him say. Isn't that what she said? Isn't that what she said, Mr. President? Isn't that what she said? Isn't that why you ended the Iraq War? Huh? The armed forces were leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant with a representative government, quote-unquote. The armed forces were leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant with a representative government, quote-unquote. That was the president. See, when it's successful, they take credit for it. When it's a failure, they blame the Republicans. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. What do you mean, got to get the Iraqi government in place? It was supposed to be in place. That's why you left. Oh, that's right. You didn't leave when it blew up again. That's right. The Iraqi government kicked you out. Well, you could have stayed if you threw a fit. Maybe if you actually were doing something, I don't know. But you know, as soon as we leave Afghanistan, I mean, who's to think that ISIS isn't going to go into Afghanistan? They can say, why not? They can go anywhere they want. They're the biggest dogs in town. Well, they've got to be stopped. If we're not sending any troops, it's not going to be a repeat of the Iraq War. It's not going to be another Bush War. Oh, look at me. I'm so peaceful. Well, what are we going to do? I mean, what? You're going to arm another militia group that doesn't like us anyway and can care less about us. They want the power. And they'll just as soon turn around and kill us just as easy as they'll kill them. So what are we doing? I mean, does he have a plan? Well, no, not yet. He's still meeting with Congress. Hopefully they've got an idea. Maybe he might, steal it and take credit for it. But, I mean, if America's going to get their name back, if America's going to get our stature back, our name back, our credibility back, we're going to have to do the firing here. We're going to have to drop some bombs. Look, we got smart bombs. We got bombs. We can see them bastards from space. We know where they are. Let's just find them and go get them. Get it over with. I'm sorry. Is it that simple? Well, it can be. You find them. You kill them. You're alone. We know where they are. Let's just do it. I mean, they're already getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And look, we got people that are flying from the United States to Syria. Okay, you think maybe we could stop any flights from the United States to Syria for the time being until we, solve some problems? Or if you've got these people flying from United States to Syria, you keep an eye on them. They make them go through customs. And if they don't smell right, well, then do something about it. But are we? No. We're opening up the borders. They can go anywhere they want, whenever they want. They get a free ride to Walmart with an EBT card. What the hell are we doing? And why am I supposed to be all hot and bothered over this speech that's supposed to happen tomorrow night? Which I'm going to cover, by the way. I've got an idea. And I think it's going to work. So I'm going to broadcast it, try to simulcast it live, and comment why it goes on. Look, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. Nothing I can do about it. But if it does work, well, then we're going to hear it. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear it live. And I'm going to bitch about everything that he says because I can already hear it now. I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to bitch to stay awake. Because if I'm not going to be complaining about it, because you can hear it already. When was the last time this guy gave a speech and you didn't complain about every word that he said? Because every word that he does said is worthy of complaint. So we're not picking on him. We're just in total, complete disagreement. And what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to wait in anticipation, wait with bated breath for this speech, and this speech is going to suddenly solve all the problems with what? What are we doing? What is the plan? If we're not putting boots on the ground, we're not doing anything military, we can't give them any sanctions, what are we going to do? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But with the Iraq war, with the Iraqi government that's no longer in place, which we were told was in place, it was stable, and blah, 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 reliance, self-reliance, blah, blah, blah. Greatest government, oh, yeah, everything's fine. And now he's saying that he's optimistic next week we're going to get that done. But you're just going to form a government that you left in shambles. Just going to form a government in a week. Really? Wow. Good for you. I mean, there was a government, and there isn't a government until Obama shows up and just makes a government within a week. I mean, this guy is good. I mean, he can organize a community. Now he can organize a government. And then he goes on this laundry list of all the stuff, his itinerary. Like I'm supposed to be impressed? Oh, yeah, I'm optimistic. Yeah, we're going to get that done next week. Yeah, we're going to get that new government done next week. And then I'm going to meet with Congress. And then I'm going to give a speech. And then the whole world will be peaceful once again. And I can go play golf. I mean, like I'm supposed to be impressed with your itinerary? No. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Damn it, do it. You're going to meet with Congress? I thought you didn't need to meet with Congress. If they weren't going to do what you want them to do, you're just going to pull out your magic pen. Why is it that, you know, when he wants to do something, he doesn't want to meet with Congress? When he doesn't want to do something, he wants to meet with Congress. Because he wants Congress to take the blame for it. He wants Congress to declare something. So he doesn't have to be responsible. Well, that's not a leader. A leader takes a responsibility, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. You got to make a decision at some point there, Mr. President. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to make a decision. But he doesn't have one. He doesn't know how to make a decision. He never had to make a decision as a senator. What did he do? Voted present. Present. Ah, oh, glad you showed up. But what's your vote? Well, yeah. Unbelievable. Going to be equivalent to the Iraq War. Not going to be a Bush War. Oh, no. Well, what is it going to be? I mean, again, what the hell? Is this going to be another Syria debacle? Remember when that was? What was he supposed to do? I mean, who were we going to even bomb in Syria in the first freaking place? I mean, and what were we going to do? And then when nobody wanted to do anything, and then he's got this plan, he gives another speech. And he wants to talk to Congress, and it was doing what? Just a little pinprick. Oh, well, what? A couple of smoke bombs. What the hell are you going to do? You don't just use military like that, you idiot. I mean, and now what are we going to do? Not going to be an Iraq war. What is it going to be? What? Well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, from the state floor.
Oh.
Wonder what that conversation was in Congress. Anybody got any ideas? Because I don't. I'd love to hear that. And then he hasn't written a speech yet. Well, he doesn't write it. Other people write it. See, this is another thing. I mean, you're the president of the United States, and you're going to get up there, and you're going to speak in front of the American people. That speech has got to come from you, not from speech writers. I understand you need, you know, speech writers that can do the work. You can tell them what you want to say, and they can put it in a way so you can go off and do president stuff. I get it, blah, 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 blah. But when you're going to put people in some kind of pseudo-conflict, I guess, some kind of pseudo-war, I get, what do we do? Are we going to get into like a big, you know, video game arcade thing, you know, and cyber fight each other? What are we doing? I mean, how are you going to engage the enemy if you're not going to, well, engage the enemy? I mean, says he's going to discuss the threat posed by ISIS and a strategy for degrading and ultimately destroying the group. Well, first of all, we don't need to discuss the threat. We don't need to have you discuss the threat to us. We already know the threat. You obviously don't. And what is your strategy? How are you going to degrade and ultimately destroy ISIS when you don't even have a plan? You have no strategy. You have nothing. But you went to a NATO meeting, and they had a big summit there. And what was that? Estonia? Estonia? Wherever the hell it was, God only knows. I mean, I've heard of the country. I know kind of where it is. It's over there somewhere. But if they walked away with the conclusion that ISIS was a threat and we needed to do something. I mean, look, jihad has been a threat for a long time now. It's been a long time. It doesn't matter what the name is. These jihadis, whatever name you want to use, they have been a threat for a very long time. We didn't know that they were a threat. Well, we knew kind of there were people that were threatening. But on 9/11, 2001, they showed that they are indeed a living, breathing threat. And they are thriving in America. So, yeah, they're a threat. They always have been. We don't need to be told they're a threat. We already know that. But what is your strategy if you're not going to do anything? If you're not going to repeat the Iraq War, the Bush War? Well, what's the Obama War? What is that going to be? Huh? You're gonna sit and have negotiations with them? Hmm? Think they're just going to drop their knives? Going to drop their machine guns, surface air missiles, and their mortars, and their tanks, and whatever weapons they stole, and just go back to their milk and honey farms? You think they're going to do that? Well, I mean, well, on the Senate floor today, Mitch McConnell, which every once in a while he'll say some good stuff, but I'm sorry, but his heart of hearts, he's in it for him. He's corrupt. We got to get rid of these people. We need new blood. We got to let these people know. Look, just because you've got an R next to your name doesn't mean that you're an automatic. You want to keep the job? Well, you're going to have to earn the job, just as if you'd never had it before. You got to earn it. You want to keep it, earn it. Same with any sports. Doesn't matter what sport it is. You want to play on the JV team, or do you want to play on the varsity team? Well, terrorism's no different. They want to play on the varsity team. That's why everybody's going to ISIS. But whatever sports you're on, You want to play in the show, man. You got to earn that job. And if you get out there and you earn it and you start to suck because you think you can just go out there and just be and don't have to put anything into it and get paid. No. Wrong. You lose your job. Well, that's what we got to do to these people. We've got to look at it as a sports team. You can look at it any way you want to. But as an example, we're the owner. Connell, he's one of the players. He keeps dropping the ball. Well, we're going to have to put him down on the bench. We're going to have to release him. Well, Mitch McConnell set the parameters for Mr. Obama on the Senate floor, saying that the president needs to identify military objectives and explain how they will be accomplished. Really? See, this is what I don't like. They just come out and they say absolutely nothing. But what the friggin' obvious is. Why do we keep going through all of these motions? It just, you know, it's like political masturbation. Just keeps going over and over and over the same motions. Blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous. What are we doing? He needs to present this plan to the Congress and the American people, and where the president believes he lacks authority to execute a strategy. He needs to explain to the Congress how additional authority for the use of force will protect America. Well, why does he need, this is what I don't understand. That was Mitch McConnell speaking. But this is what I don't understand. If he said, and we heard him play it, I played it here. We're doing the same crap that we've been doing for the past 7 years. Well, then why does he need additional authority for the use of force if he's not really going to be even using any kind of force? What? And what is his speech going to be about tomorrow? I'm already bored to tears. I am. I'm bored. I don't want to play the damn thing tomorrow, but we got to. But it's ridiculous. What in God's name could this man even be possibly, he's going to come out there and make a complete and utter complete fool of himself, just like he did with that stupid Syria speech. This one, I think, is going to be worse. And there's a report. There's a report I read, and I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know, but Obama was talking to the Prime Minister of England, which, what's going on in England now? I guess Scotland's getting away from the UK, and I got, who the hell knows? I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. Now I forgot where the hell we were going at. Well, it doesn't really matter. We got to move on anyway. The Republican, Adam Kinzinger, or Kinzinger, whatever. He's from Illinois. He said he saw no legal need for Obama to seek congressional approval for military action at all. Well, then why is he? And what is he? He's not seeking military action. He's seeking an advice from Congress, but that Congress is not exactly, well, not somebody I would seek, not this Congress anyway. You don't want them giving advice, but he doesn't have any, he doesn't have a solution. He doesn't have a strategy. He doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have an idea. He wants the problem solved so he can take the credit for it, but he doesn't know how to solve it, so he wants somebody else to solve it. And if it doesn't work, well, it's not going to affect him. Well, it wasn't my plan. Remember, that was Congress, and that was the Republicans. Remember, they had the House, and they bullied the Senate. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they'll find a way to blame. You know, it's easy. Find whatever. Blah 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 blah. But what the hell he's seeking authorization for? But he's not really seeking authorization. So he's seeking advice. He doesn't know what to do. That's the only thing that I could possibly think of what it really is. And God only knows what speech we're going to hear tomorrow. But if that speech doesn't end the threat of ISIS, get a load of this now. The State Department, our State Department, what State Department? What State Department? Ours? Do we have one? We got a State Department? Honey, do you know we had a State Department? What State Department? Well, they have a new propaganda campaign now. What the hell is the name of this? What do they call this? Where do you get a load of this? The stupid name. How the hell is it now? I can't remember it. Oh, here it is. Think Again turn away. This is their campaign to try to get people, Americans, these young punks, are up and trying to join ISIS. Go fight for jihad. Blah, 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 blah. So they are launching what they call a tough and graphic propaganda counteroffensive. It's a joke. It's pathetic. It's ridiculous. And wait till we get to it. You're going to be like, huh? Yeah. That's what I said. Well, they've come up with this video, and you can see it on YouTube. And I watched it. I wanted to see what it was. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, first of all, I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to show that if you join ISIS, you're going to be killing a lot of Muslims, which these idiots don't seem to understand that these Muslims that they're killing, to them, they're traitors. So it's okay to kill them. It's good. So if this video does anything, it just, well, it just solidifies their curiosity already in the idea that this is the way to go. You're doing more of an encouragement than a disencouragement or a discouragement. Again, it's my broken left-handed tongue. What do you want from me? It's hard to speak. But I watched the video. And they had all, you know, they were showing all these, you know, executions, shooting them in the back of the head, dead people, and throwing somebody off a cliff. And you can see them bouncing, you know, rolling. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, and the reason they're doing this is because ISIS and all these other jihad groups, and there's a whole bunch of them out there. Facebook and Twitter and all these social media, they are flooded with this jihadi crap. And there are people that go on there. There are people, there are a lot more jihad supporters in this country and in the world, all across the world, Canada, Mexico, United States, Australia, Europe, Russia, Asia, you name it. They're there. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There is I don't understand this infatuation with these people. I don't get it. I don't understand. I just don't get it. And obviously our government doesn't seem to get it either. Well, they do get it, and they just simply don't know what to do. So instead of coming out and saying, you know, hey, we don't know what to do, which I don't want to hear that, which we already did. We already know they don't know what the hell they're doing, because what have they ever done that they gave you the impression they knew what they were doing? Nothing. What? I don't know. Nothing. I can't think of anything. And neither can you. Why? Well, because it doesn't exist. But, I mean, this video, I mean, this is how these people just don't think. They don't think things all the way through. Because they've got all these social media websites and this and that and all these accounts. So they're trying to counter it. So to get people that, oh, I'm thinking about joining ISIS, let me go on this website over here and find out more information. Oh, look! Here's a website. Oh, they kill Muslims. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, gee, boy, this video really scared me straight. God only knows how many gazillions of friggin' dollars that our government spent on this stupid video. God only knows. I'm sorry, but we're not going to win. Is that what's in Obama's speech now? We're going to have a Twitter war? We can fight them on Twitter? That way nobody dies? What? I mean, just because they got you're trying to count. I understand you're trying to counter, you know, their accounts. Well, they try to shut them down as quick as they can, but as soon as you shut one down, 10 more pop up. So they've got their hands full. I get it. But to start a campaign, it opens up, run, do not walk to ISIS land. This is the video. This is our government. Run, do not walk to ISIS land. That's what it says. Also, they got up there and says you can learn useful new skills, like blowing up mosques, and they show these mosques being blown up, and crucifying and executing Muslims, and they show the people that the Muslims that they did execute. Well, they were the wrong kind of Muslim, which is the very people that they're at war with. So if you're the wrong Muslim, you wouldn't be looking up this ISIS account. Okay, you wouldn't be on this ISIS Facebook account. You wouldn't be on their Twitter account. Okay? So these people, these Muslims that they're showing in this video of the people that they're going to be executing, those are the enemy. They want to kill them. So they want to, these people, do they think at all? Oh my God. I came up with that the very first moment I watched the video. It's the first thing that came to my head. I mean, this is, what the hell? I mean, it's ridiculous. Run, don't walk to ISIS land. ISIS land? I mean, I could understand, you know, if it would be, you know, run, don't walk to Disneyland. But run, don't walk to ISIS land? Is that the dude again? Did he come up with that? I wonder if the dude came up with that. He probably did. We'll blame it on the dude. Whether he did it or not, we're still going to blame him for it. What's he going to do? And then they end with the tagline. Travel is inexpensive because you won't need a return ticket. And then they show some more dead bodies. And then they show the guy getting thrown off the cliff. Which means if you join there, you're going to die. Well, they're happy to die. I mean, hello? These people, if you die for jihad, man, you get 72 virgins. 72 of them. 72. That's a weird number. I don't understand that number, 72. I guess I could probably have, you know, I'd have fun for a while with 72 virgins. I could be gainfully employed for a while. But I thought those Muslims weren't supposed to have those impure thoughts. So what are they going to do with the virgins? They're going to cover them up in the burqas? Or if you're in heaven, can you be naked? What if you can be naked in heaven? Or you got to wear a burqa? If you're in heaven, would it be black or would it be white? See, I mean, these are questions. I mean, I just, whatever. But run, don't walk to ISIS land. Gee, you're really going to, I mean, again, you're going to scare them straight, boy. I mean, this is really working well, isn't it? Ted Cruz said it was bizarre. Well, I was kind of like thinking the same thing. I mean, this is weird. You're not urging these people from joining ISIS at all. And you're embarrassing yourself with your stupidity. For God's sakes, people, somebody think before they do something, please. I'm begging you here. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. And then they got a State Department spokesperson. Spokespeople, I'm sick and tired of them. Shut up. So the work is vital. Vital, they say. It's vital. It's vital given how violent extremists are increasingly exploiting the suffering caused by global conflicts to lure successful youth. I mean, I just, stewardess, barf bag, please. I mean, what are you kidding me? I mean, this is how liberals think. They think that if they can, see, they don't understand. They think that everybody is programmable, like a computer. You just be told whatever you need to be told, and you just become whatever you were told to become. And they don't understand that, you know, there's people out there that got a mind of their own, and they're not going to do it, like their students. And if the child doesn't do everything, isn't programmable, well, then they put them on drugs. And they keep the kid in the back, and he's all stoned up. I mean, it just, I mean, by coming out with, trying to give positive energy, okay, it doesn't work for these people. Okay, this stuff does not work for these people. We believe countering our adversaries in the space is critical. We must contest the space by confronting distortion with reality and lies with truth. I mean, what? You're not giving any reality. You're giving more of a lie. You're an idiot. You just shut up. Confronting distortion, you are the distortion, for God's sakes, man. Making a video like this is not going to turn anybody away. You're an idiot. I know you're trying to counter it, but this isn't it. You want to counter it, okay, and you want to show the truth. Well, then show the truth. Show the truth, the real truth. But this isn't it. First of all, these people aren't, they're going to, they're not going to take it seriously, number one. They're going to be laughing at it. And if it does anything, they're just going to be encouraged. So they can kill people like you who come up with a stupid video like this. Because you are their enemy. You're the infidel. You don't deserve to have a life. You deserve to have your head cut off. That's part of Allah, part of Jihad, part of Muhammad, part of this, the Quran, part of the whole smash. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, these people are just, they just don't think. I mean, how can anybody take, come on. This, they call it the Think Again, Turn Away campaign. Well, first of all, why do you have to come up with a name and a campaign? You got to come up with a name. They think they can just put up a hashtag, take a picture, and put it on Facebook with some tricky little name. They can solve the world's problems. Think Again, Turn Away? What? Think again, don't, or turn away. Think again, turn away. Oh, okay. I won't become a jihadi. That's not going to work. Oh. You see what I mean? That we should no longer accept the unacceptable? This is stupid. Whoever came up with this should have lost their job immediately for coming up with something so stupid. But did they? Know? They got promoted. And a raise. We shouldn't tolerate this. This is nonsense. This is stupidity. We want real action. We don't want this gobbledygook garbage crap. Oh, let's get positive energy. We do this and we do that. Oh, and they'll just watch the video and then they'll think in their mind, oh, that's bad and I won't do it, and then everybody will be peaceful. Oh, look, a unicorn. Ooh. I mean, what are you, I mean, this is just absurd. This is our State Department. This is our government. These are the people. These are representing us. Well, they don't represent me. Because that's not me. Look, there's only one way to really combat these people. I know I ain't talking about this, but, I mean, Jiminy Christmas here. But they're going to keep killing until they are killed. That's the reality. You want to tell them the truth? You want to tell them the reality? Tell them that, go ahead, you join your little jihadi group. But there's only one way out, and that is for you to die, because we are going to kill you. Because they are going to do nothing but kill, kill, kill until they are killed. And I'm sick and tired of talking about kill. I hate that stupid word. I'm sick and tired of having to talk about it. But unless somebody can come up with another way, we can get these bastards to drop their little knives and go back to their milk and honey farms. I'm all ears. I want to hear it. I would love to have that knowledge. I would kill to have that knowledge on what it would take to end all these jihadi groups without killing them. So there you go with that. I hate talking about this crap, but look, we got to, man. This stuff is real. This ain't fake, man. This ain't fake. This is real. Our government, for whatever reason, unless they're lying to us, they don't take it seriously. And they should. And stop worrying about how you look. As the only Democrat president never put anybody into harm's way. Well, you have put men into harm's way. You're not starting another war. Do your job. If we get attacked, we must come to their defense. That's not an act of war. What is the act of war? When they attacked our embassy, Mr. Obama, that was an act of war. That was an act of war. Defending ourselves is an act of self-defense. My God. And how is he going to defeat and systematically, like he systematically defeated Al-Qaeda? You didn't. Or dismantle Al-Qaeda. Systematically dismantled Al-Qaeda. Really now? So what is he going to do with this speech that's coming up here? How are we going to solve this problem? Is he going to give arms to another group that's still jihadi? But, I mean, who's he going to give arms to? And why are we giving all these arms to people? I just don't understand what, if it's not going to be a force, but he needs Congress's approval. I mean, this guy is incompetent is one thing, but this guy just simply doesn't understand. I mean, it's beyond incompetent. I don't think he understands the position, his role. I don't think he gets it. And who's he really working for? I mean, who's really pulling the strings here? Is ISIS actually running our government? I mean, so he can't really go out and militarily attack them because he's working for them? But he has to make it look like he's doing something, so he'll go out and give a speech. I guess he'll win another Nobel Peace Prize with that speech. What? I think again, turn away. Running in the damn put people on the ballot here. We don't even have anybody on the ballot. Everybody's bitching, pissing, and moaning, but nobody's running. I mean, this story here doesn't surprise me a bit. The Sadlaw family, the spokesman, which his last name is Barfy. I'm not making this up. Barfy. Barf. Barfy. His first name is Barack. Barack Barfy. I'm not making it up. That's his name. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm just saying the name. Spokesman for the family, Mr. Barfy, for the Sadlaw family, claimed Monday, that was yesterday, that Mr. Sadlaw was actually sold to this terrorist group, ISIS, or IS, by the Syrian so-called moderate rebels. You know those people that John McCain, he met. Oh, I met them. They're moderate. Oh, yeah, I've met them. I've met them. They're moderate. What does that mean, moderate? A moderate terrorist. How do you be a moderate terrorist? What the hell does that mean? A moderate jihadist. I mean, what does that mean, moderate? I mean, they don't cut your head off. They'll just shoot you. I mean, what does that mean, moderate? And those people that we want to arm, you think for 1 second that they're not going to use those arms against the United States? Please. Well, this Barack Barfy, evidently he's a foreign policy research fellow. Ooh, foreign policy research fellow. You get called a fellow? Hey, man, you made the big time. You're important. At the New American Foundation. Ooh. He says, we believe that these so-called moderate rebels that people want our administration to support, one of them sold him probably for something between $25,000 and $50,000 to ISIS. And that was the reason he was captured. So here they got these people. They can't get the United States to pay the ransom. They just get a bigger terrorist group. Here, take this guy. Yeah, you can get some publicity. And for $50,000 or $25,000, it's nothing to these guys. They're like, they're making well over $2 million a day, probably a hell of a lot more than that. This is nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's why they were captured. They look at Americans as dollar signs. America looks at Americans as dollar signs, especially if they're children. Evidently, this Barfy has got a bunch of sources, he says. Now, if this is true or not, hey, I don't know whether it is or it isn't. But what I do know, is it possible? Is it probable? Abso-friggin-lutely. If it didn't happen this time, it's happened before and will happen again. That's how these people are. We need a real strategy. I'm not convinced that this president has one. I mean, if he has to meet with Congress the day before he gives a speech on what his strategy is, he has to meet with Congress. It seems to me that he should have been meeting with Congress, oh, I don't know, for a while now, and maybe with some generals, you know, get the generals in there, because they kind of have, you know, military backgrounds and, you know, how to combat, you know, and defeat the enemy, because they're military guys. You know, you'd want to get together with them, you know. Then you tell Congress what you talked about. You don't rely on Congress to come up with the solutions. You get, you know, Maybe there might be a couple of guys that have something, but you need to have at least a combination. You need to have the military guys in there. But what are the military guys doing? Well, they're being there to do whatever they're told to do, which is to stand down. What are we doing? Well, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if they weren't sold. Evidently, they've got claims they knew exactly where this guy was. They knew where he was. But Obama claims, oh, wow, you know, like Bill Clinton. Remember when he could have got bin Laden after 9/11? Oh, yeah, I could have got him. I had him that one time. Oh, I had him dead to rights. But I missed him by 3 hours. No, you did not miss him by 3 hours. You were in trouble with Monica Lewinsky, so you launched a couple of bombs out in the middle of the frickin' desert, and that was that. You did nothing. Please. I don't want to hear it. Now, do I believe that our government probably knew where this guy was? Yeah, I do believe it. Did we go out and do anything? No. Why? That's the question I do not know. I do not have the answers to any of this stuff. If we know where they are, they're, you know, we've got teams that, you know, specialize in this kind of stuff. That's for a living, Mr. President. Your D-boys, that's what they do for a living. Navy SEALs, they do stuff like that for a living. All your contractors there in Benghazi that you left for dead, because you had to go upstairs and eat. I still want to know what he ate that night. I want to know your meal. That would be my first question if I got the chance to ask a president a question. Mr. President, on the night of Benghazi, the very moment that you found out our embassy was on fire, our ambassador had gone missing, and we were under attack by mortar fire and machine gun fire, and you went upstairs to eat, what was your meal? What did you have? Do you remember? Was it a cheeseburger? Huh? What did you have? We know you Muslims don't put bacon on your cheeseburgers. So what was it? What did you have? Did Michelle make you eat a tofu salad? What did you have for dinner that night that when our ambassador was being raped with a cattle prod, burnt? God only knows. Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods were being blown up with a mortar. Sean Smith was trying to save the ambassador. He ended up getting killed. So, God only knows how many of these men were actually there. We can't find out, you know, the CIA, but God knows how many actually died. But look at all that were injured. There were a lot that were injured. So while all these people were being injured and killed and shedding blood, you were upstairs eating. So it's important for the American people to know that this must have been one hell of an important meal. So we need to know, what was that meal? What was it? What did you have? And did you have a cigarette, an after-meal cigarette? Did you do that after you eat? Huh? Did Michelle allow you to go outside and have an after-meal cigarette? Did you have some cognac afterwards with it too? Maybe you smoked a cigar. We know Valerie was up there with you, so does she smoke cigars too? What were you two talking about? What was so damn important that you could not go down to the Situation Room? What was so damn important up there in upstairs to eat? What was so important in your dining room? Are you guys trying to figure out what the hell to do? Well, you're the president. You know, I mean, an advisor is supposed to, you know, she can advise you on a couple of things, but you, as the president, you've got to have some decisions in your head already. And if you're going to use Valerie Goebbels as your main advisor, especially after TACT, I mean, you need to pick some better advisors. Ugh. Well, yeah, I do believe they knew where they were. Did they send really anybody out there to get them? And it always happens, oh, we sent somebody, but yeah, they moved. Yeah, we didn't know, you know, they were there, and now they're not. But the family's saying, no, they knew exactly where they were. They weren't, you know, all in this. So who do you believe? Well, so far, I haven't seen any evidence to believe the government on just a whole lot of anything. When I see that kind of evidence, okay, then we got something to talk about. But when was the last time that you've seen it? I don't know. Been a while. It's been a while. Well, from CBS News, Washington, D.C. is ranked one of America's snobbiest cities. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. The District of Columbia's fine arts and museums have long made the city a tourist destination. But those attractions also have helped make it one of the snobbiest cities in America. I guess people who go to museums are snobs. Yeah, well, some of them are. Why? I don't know. I didn't invent the snob, so I don't have nothing to do with it. According to rankings from Movoto, I guess that's the people that do their rankings. These rankings and these polls. The nation's capital ranked second in a list of the 10 snobbiest cities in America. Guess which one is number one? Nancy Pelosi's stomping ground, San Francisco. San Francisco's number one. Washington, D.C.'s number two. Seattle, Washington, number three. Scottsdale, number four. That's Scottsdale, Arizona. Oakland, California. I didn't know there was a lot of museums in Oakland. See, evidently they used the list. I don't know how they did anything. This is filled with politicians and blah, blah, blah. The list factors such as cost of housing, average household income, number of art galleries, and percent of residents who graduated from college. So if you got all this stuff, you're a snob. Portland, Oregon, snobby, yeah. Yeah, I grew up right across the river from Portland, Oregon. Yeah, I can agree with that. Irvine, California, and Honolulu are both tied for number seven. Honolulu, wow. Madison, Wisconsin. Madison, Wisconsin, a snobby town. Number nine, how about that? And Atlanta, Georgia. I thought you'd get all that southern hospitality. Atlanta, Georgia? A snobby city? Come on. It's because you got a couple of museums? I mean, these polls and this crap. I mean, why do we even bother with this crap? I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Anybody knows. But anyway, I'm going to get an opportunity to speak to my mother tonight. So we're just about done here. Not really much more to talk about. We all know how it ends. We got more liberals on and on and on and on and on until we put an end to them, too. I'm not saying we got to go kill them like ISIS, but we got to put an end to them. We put an end to them in the voting booth, just the way it is. But I want to wish my mom a very happy and, a very fast recovery. I finally get a chance to speak to her, find out what the hell's going on. She was in all kinds of stuff going on yesterday, so she's probably pretty tired, but I'm looking forward to speaking to her because I couldn't get any information today and I couldn't speak to her yesterday. So family's big and it's just the way it is. I want to thank everybody listening here tonight, everybody on their smartphones, everybody in the chat room, everybody here, everybody there, everybody who's going to download later. Look, if you like the show, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies. I don't care. Tell them to join the fun. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.